This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Today I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate.
That is Minnesota Senator Democrat Al Franken today announcing his resignation following intense pressure from 32 other Senate Democrats who called for him to step down in response to accusations from at least six women who say he touched them inappropriately. Most of the alleged incidents took place before he was a senator, and Franken today said he denies many of their claims or remembers others differently. Now, Senate Democrats' drive to force Franken's resignation stands in stark contrast to how the Republican Party is rallying in support of Roy Moore, the Alabama Senate candidate who's accused of sexually pursuing teenaged girls when he was in his 30s. In his Senate speech today, Franken noted what he called the, quote, irony.
I, of all people, am aware that there is some irony in the fact that I am leaving while a man who has bragged on tape about his history of sexual assault sits in the Oval Office, and a man who has repeatedly preyed on young girls campaigns for the Senate with the full support of his party.
Senator Franken there with a not-so-veiled reference to President Donald Trump. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked today about Franken's comment.
The president addressed the comments back during the campaign. We feel strongly that the people of this country also addressed that when they elected Donald Trump to be president. And I've addressed it several times from here and don't have anything new to add.
Let's talk about the significance of all this. Joining us is Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg Politics. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
So what's been the reaction to Franken's announcement today?
Well, as you mentioned, about over 30 Democratic senators have already called on him to resign. I think that the conclusion was just that his time is up. This was a difficult decision for Democrats because he has cultivated many close relationships with fellow Democrats here in the Senate over his, what is it now, I guess 8 years in the chamber. He barely won his election in 2008, and he won a pretty comfortable victory, double-digit victory in a bad year for Democrats in 2014. And, you know, he sort of left his mark on the institution with his colleagues, so I think a lot of them felt conflicted. But on the other hand, they did find his behavior highly inappropriate, inexcusable, and I think yesterday's accusation, the latest accuser came out, said that Senator Franken had forcibly kissed her years ago. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. So, you know, it's a mixed feelings here among Democrats.
No, we should note that Franken said, as we heard in that tape, that he will be resigning in the coming weeks, meaning what, the end of this year? That would keep him in the Senate for some several potential key votes.
That's right. And it's important to note that that seat is still safe for Democrats. It will be his successor will be appointed by Mark Dayton, the governor of Minnesota, who is a Democrat. So it won't change the partisan balance in the Senate. It'll remain a 52-48 narrow Republican majority. But in the next couple of weeks, there will be a lot of important votes happening, most notably the final conference report of the tax reform bill that Republicans want to pass. There will be probably multiple votes on government funding legislation to prevent a shutdown. There could be issues like the Children's Health Insurance Program coming up, measures to stabilize the Affordable Care Act insurance marketplaces, and possibly, though not likely, a Dreamer fix.
Now, Franken did mention that he felt that if there had been an ethics committee investigation, that he believes the committee would find that he did not, quote, dishonor the Senate. I mean, given that, though, I understand he was facing all this pressure from his fellow Senate Democrats, but why didn't he hold out for an investigation?
Well, that was a plan for a while, but that becomes untenable when, you know, most of your own party caucus is now calling on you to resign. Any senator, you know, needs those relationships to be effective. You have to have allies to work with on issues. You need co-sponsors for pieces of legislation. And when more than half of your own party's colleagues have deemed you unworthy of being in the Senate, I think he correctly realized that his future was pretty much over, and there was no point going through the whole, you know, going through the motions only to quit again.
So, Sahil, one last question regarding what Franken said about what he sees as the irony of him resigning when the Republican National Committee is rallying around Roy Moore in Alabama, and Senator Franken also noted controversy surrounding President Trump here. I just wonder, critics of Franken might say that Democrats are showing some significant moral backbone by pushing for his resignation and also similarly in the House, the resignation of John Conyers. But on the other hand, in terms of these other men that have come under scrutiny, Roy Moore, et cetera, it's like night and day between how the parties are handling it. So will this make any difference whatsoever in terms of how Republicans handle accusations against their own members?
Well, it'll certainly put pressure on Republicans to deal more strongly with their own alleged abusers and harassers in their ranks. I think we are seeing the beginnings of a meaningful divergence between the two parties after Democrats had initially dithered on whether Franken should resign and whether John Conyers, a now former dean of the House amid accusations against him, should resign. But Democrats have now pushed them both out. While Republicans are warming up to Roy Moore, the White House and the RNC is all in for Moore, despite the fact that he is alleged to have molested girls, underage girls, and had various other accusations from women who have come forward lately. So certainly that's Democrats, in their view, laying a claim to the moral high ground here, that they are, they have decided to be the party that's not going to tolerate this. And certainly there are Democrats who have pointed this out. Senator Bernie Sanders, the runner-up for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2016, said maybe President Trump should follow Franken's lead and also consider resigning. The president has more than a dozen women coming forward and accusing him of sexual harassment or assault. Sheldon Whitehouse, the Democratic senator, also said he hopes the American people will take note of Republican support for, I'm quoting here, a morally degraded Senate candidate in Alabama and a president in the Oval Office saying equally credible charges, unquote, as all Franken. So Democrats are eager to highlight this.
Mm. Well, that's Sahil Kapoor, national political reporter for Bloomberg Politics. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, let's turn now and get some reaction from a member of the Massachusetts delegation. Representative Stephen Lynch joins us. He represents the 8th. Congressman, it's good to have you back.
To speak with you, Magna.
So what's your reaction to Senator Franken's resignation? And also on the House side, we had John Conyers say he was going to step down.
I think the right thing to do in both those cases. I think that, it was a little bit of time in coming, but I think they both arrived at the right decision.
Hmm. Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about the fact that your colleague, Congressman Seth Moulton, has said that, perhaps responsibility should also go higher. He's called for House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi to step aside. Do you fault Democratic leaders in the House for any of this going on?
Well, I think there was an interview. I didn't see it, but I thought at one point there was an interview in which Leader Pelosi called John Conyers an icon, and I think tried to point to his previous record and longevity in the House as a way of protecting him. And I think she was countermanded by Jackie Speier and some of the other women in Congress who pointed out that we could not demand or control the moral high ground here if we were going to tolerate this type of behavior within our own party and within our own caucus here in Washington. And so Leader Pelosi didn't about face at that point, and I think got right with the membership here. And, I think people have been fairly solid in their insistence that that Franken and Mr. Conyers both leave.
Yeah. Congressman, you wrote a letter to your constituents, and in it you wrote that, quote, over the last 2 months, we have learned about allegations of misconduct by powerful men in almost every industry, including Congress. This conduct is absolutely unacceptable and it must have career-ending, life-altering consequences for the perpetrators. Then you wrote, the system for handling these allegations in Congress is arcane and does little, if anything, to support the brave victims who come forward. So how might you change the system in Congress to handle this?
The problem here is that there is an asymmetry in power, okay? So you've got members of Congress who have enormous power, staff, standing, influence here. And then you have, in many cases, at least in our institution, junior employees that have very little in way of employee protections. And so what I suggested and what I think should happen is that there needs to be an ombudsman-type position or an advocate position created where that person would have, you know, the imprimatur of official status to bring the charges on behalf of someone who you know, has been harassed or is having those type of problems with an employer, with a member of Congress, or with senior staff. Some of the staff here is very, very powerful as well, chiefs of staff, things like that. So I think we really have to get at that. And I don't really think that that any of the proposals that I've heard so far, you know, there's been a proposal that I certainly support where employees and members of Congress have to go through the sexual harassment orientation and awareness training, things like that. And that's all fine. But I really think when something happens like this, you really need to have an advocate on your side that is able to prosecute the case and bring it forward. Sort of what we have at the state level with EEOC type claims, where there's an actual advocate who steps in for you and has much more influence and power than a low-level or entry-level employee might have.
Yeah. You know, we're running out of time with you, Congressman, so can I just get one more question here about the actual business going on in the House? Because
sure.
I understand that that House there's supposed to be some kind of vote today to keep the government open until the 22nd of December. Is that right?
That's correct. That's a short-term continuing resolution. But we're having some real differences because the Republicans have refused to, you know, acknowledge the need to resolve the children's health insurance program.
Yep.
That's still not addressed. We have a number of outstanding issues there that they would like to fund the Defense Department without funding the, you know, domestic side of our agenda here. So that's not sitting well with a lot of members, including myself. So we've got some real differences. And right now, based on the deal that the Republicans have on the table, I would say the Democrats are nearly unanimously opposed to the CR. And I think because of the internal problems within the Republican Party, they need some Democratic votes. So right now we're holding the line, and we would like to see a CR that is more respectful of some of the issues that we've raised.
Yeah. Well, Congressman Stephen Lynch represents Massachusetts' 8th District. Congressman, it's always good to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Meghna. Have a good day now.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.